So we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we covered all the armor. We looked at the sword of the Spirit and praying with all manner of prayer and supplication. We talked about that, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and all supplication for all the saints. But as I was reading last week, I see that there's at least another one more sermon here, so we're going to look at it. Amen. Because I believe all of God's word is always appropriate for now, because God's word is for now. Amen. Starting in verse 19, Paul said that after you pray for all the saints and perseverance and supplication for all the saints, he said this, and for me, he said, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. I told us a couple of weeks ago that we are all ambassadors for Christ. We carry the presence of God wherever we go. We are representatives. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Amen. We said that last week, and I've pointed to this verse that we would get there, where Paul said, I am an ambassador in chains. He says that in chains, he says, where I am right now, even though I'm locked up, I'm bound. He says that in there I would speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I got to reading that and I thought, my goodness. It's as if he said, pray that I, verse 19, that I may open my mouth. And that's the title of my sermon. Open my mouth, Lord. Open my mouth. And so I want to kind of pan out and if you will, Paul was talking specifically about him preaching the gospel while he was in, he was going from court to court to court. It was like a lawsuit brought against him, and he was going to different courts being tried and so forth. And he said that while in that process, specifically that I might be able to open my mouth boldly as I ought to. But as I read it and I pan back out of it and I think about it, I said, you know, Lord, all of us have had times when we felt like we couldn't say what ought to have been said. Okay? And so the question comes to me, have you ever felt like you couldn't say what needed to be said? This is what Paul is saying. Now, I know that everybody in here, you have been in a circumstance, as some of us are in a circumstance right now, where you feel like you can't say what needs to be said. And so we join with Paul and say, pray for me that I would be able to open my mouth and say what needs to be said. Now, anytime you open up the word of God and you see a truth, it's applicable to today. So I'm just going to go right at it. Now, this whole Harvey Weinstein thing. If you've been listening to the news at all, you know who Harvey Weinstein is and you know what's been going on. Well, Jane Fonda, I just saw the headline. I didn't even read the whole article. Jane Fonda said, I feel so ashamed because I knew about Harvey Weinstein years ago. She said, I knew what he was doing, but I didn't say anything. I didn't open my mouth. And so all of these women later, okay, this woman, Rose McGowan, she opened up her mouth and got in trouble because of it. But it started this whole ball to a rolling. And now, because somebody said what needed to be said, things been uncovered. It's interesting how God will use somebody to say something to get something started. You know, there are times, the Bible says there's a time to be quiet, and there's a time to speak up. There are times for everything, right? But there's a time to open up your mouth. And I know that Paul is talking about with regard to the gospel here. But in a broader application to all of us, there are times when, and we've all been there, there are times when we are in a particular situation between a rock and a hard place, and you will, if you will, and we felt pressure not to say anything, but we knew that we should say something. And we needed people praying for us, like Paul was asking these people, listen, pray for me. Pray for me that when I get in front of the court, when I get in front of the king, when I get in front of the emperor, that I'll be able to say what needs to be said. Paul wants the power of God to rest upon him so that he can make known the gospel that was hidden from generations. And so we need to be able to say, we need to be able to open up our mouth. David knew what it was like in Psalm 38, verse 13. He says, but I, like a deaf man, do not hear. I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth is no response. David, the scriptures know exactly how you and I feel, because God knows the pressures and the this world system and what it brings to bear upon your life. Back to this whole Harvey Weinstein situation. You know why people didn't say anything? I'll tell you why people didn't say anything. They didn't say anything because this man was at the top of the food chain. He was the one who could make your career or break your career. And when you're in the world, when somebody says, if you just do this over here, I'll make sure that you have a smooth road. When you're in the world and the world is your system by which you judge everything, then it means if you don't stand for anything, they say you'll fall for everything, right? And so when the world is your plumb line, when the world system is how you do things, then you go along with it. You shut up and you don't say anything. Okay? But when you have a different value system, when you're from a different kingdom, Jesus said to the disciples, all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Go therefore into all the world. Preach the gospel. No matter what people say, preach the gospel. But hello, God doesn't only send forth people to preach the gospel. God sends forth people to stop wickedness also. God opens up people's mouths so that horrific things can be stopped. Amen. Somebody has to say something. Something has to be done. And usually before something gets done, somebody has to say something. So yesterday I'm reading something on my tablet, and I come up on this paper, this book that's just been written, and is written about the famines in Russia in the 1930s under Stalin. And how that they went and they took all the food and made all the farms communal. And so the people didn't have food to eat. And 5 million, I can't get my mind around that. 5 million people at least died of starvation. But here's what the woman was pointing out in the book. All the journalists, they knew about it in Russia. The journalists knew. And she's writing this book, and now I want to go get the book. I'm reading this little excerpt. I'm like, oh, God, I got to go get this book. But all the people knew, and they kept their mouth shut. And instead of saying people are dying, they said there are challenges in, this part. It was part of it was Ukraine and all. And so all of these, Malcolm Muggeridge, if you've heard of him, he was a journalist back then. And there was, but there came along, the circumstances aligned themselves for this one British little man. This little British man got access to be able to go out into the countryside, in the Ukrainian countryside. And he interviewed people for 40 miles. He was going from village to village to village. And he interviewed people. And this one man, when he got out of Russia or the USSR, he went back. And he wrote a column, he spoke, and he told about all the tragedies and all the, how people were dying because people said, we have no bread. We have no bread. We don't even have beets. We don't have roots. The soldiers come. They take it all. They take it all away. And people are dying from starvation. Villages are empty. So he wrote it all out. And he stood up in, I forget where the conference was. He stood up. And they have the paper clippings, the newspaper clippings, in the that you can read in this book. And then he began to speak and tell the truth about what was going on. What was going on in Russia. And this is what happened. All the Russian, these were other journalists, they came out and they condemned him. They didn't side with him, even though they knew what he was saying was true. They all condemned him. He was eventually murdered. But he spoke the truth. But he opened his mouth. Now listen, that man knew, when I go to tell the truth, I'm going to be a marked man. But he did it anyhow. May God grant us the courage to open up our mouth. Now, listen, you say, I'm not there yet. Hang on. Hang on. Because your time is coming. If you are not there yet, your time is coming. So my daughter, my daughter's in a situation where she's working with these schools. She comes home and she'll say something like, well, Dad, you know, there's certain hygiene protocols that you have for all this equipment and working these football players and all this type thing, and whether or not it's being followed and this type of thing. And so she came home one day and talked about all that. And then the very next day, I'm reading the New York Times, and what did it have but how bacteria is being spread to all of these schools because they're not cleaning the equipment that the athletes are using. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at that, like, wait a second. We were just talking about this. And there's so many, now that's only one area, but there's so many areas of where things, I was talking to somebody else, who said, things not being done right. Things simply not being done right. Listen, there's a place in all of our lives where we're going to be called upon to open up our mouth. Hello? And when your turn comes, you'll be like Paul, praying, pray for me. Pray for me. Because I've got to say something, and it's not going to be pleasant. Hello? And so, in the book of Ezekiel, I thought to myself, wouldn't you like to be like Ezekiel? Because God said in the book of Ezekiel 3:27, but when I speak with you, I will open your mouth. God told Ezekiel. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. But God's promise to Ezekiel was, I'm going to open your mouth. God help us that would be our experience. In Ezekiel 29 and 21, in that day I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth, and I will open your mouth to speak in their midst. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. It was the Lord who opened the mouth of the prophet to speak his word. And there, those, it's the Lord who will open our mouth when we get in tense and very dire circumstances to be able to open our mouth. See, I can't look at Marilyn without even, when I look at Marilyn because of what I know she's been going through in her life. This sister has been called upon. Y'all, some of you don't know the details, but this sister, at one point, people came to her and said, is it like this? And she, at that moment, she had to wrestle with, well, what do I say? What do I say? Now, she knows what she needs to say. And long story short, she came out and said, yes, it's like that. And woo, and the fire started. You think the California fires were something? Wait, let me tell you, the fire started. Whoosh, and she's had to endure because there's coming a time when you'll have to open up your mouth and say what needs to be said. You see in the book of Job, you know Job's three friends? Remember what Job said about them? He says, with friends like you all, who needs an enemy? He said, miserable comforters you all are. He said, my goodness, why are you treating me so bad? Well, in the book of Job, you have those three friends, but there's one other person in the book. He actually speaks before God speaks. Wouldn't you like to be the one speaking before God speaks? And he come back and confirm everything you said. Yes, sir. His name was Elihu. And he was speaking to Job about some misgivings that Job had about God. And then right after that, God came and rebuked Job. So this is what Paul is asking for. He's asking, Lord, that you would give strength in me, pray for me, that I would open my mouth as I ought to. Now, in Numbers 24, that's the story of Balaam. Numbers 22, 23, 24 is speaking of this prophet. And, you know, they came to him and said, please come curse Israel for me. And he said, the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open. The Lord gave Balaam an utterance. When he first went to the Lord and said, can I go with these men? God says, no, you can't go, and you know the story. But after he went, the Lord said to him, you can only say what I tell you to say. You can only say what I tell you to say. God help us to say what only he would tell us to say. Amen. Because sometimes as his messengers, we get caught up with ourselves and we say too much. God help me only to say what you would have me to say. Right? We see this now in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, Scripture reads and says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He gave them utterance, right? So utterance was given. Not only there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5, I thank my God, Paul says, always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. So God has equipped us to be able to say what we need to say when we need to say it. Okay? Don't think so? Back to Numbers chapter 22. God gave Balaam's donkey an utterance. Hello. When God wants someone to hear him, he can use an inanimate object. He can use anything. But when the donkey kept disobeying Balaam, finally Balaam took his staff and he struck the donkey. And he says, I'm so mad at you, if I had a knife, I would kill you. And the donkey said, why are you so mad with me? Have I ever disobeyed you? Man, I'm like, wait a second. If God can open up the donkey's mouth, do you think he can open up ours?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I believe he can. I believe he can and have us to speak what he would have us to speak. The donkey said, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And so the Lord, as we live this life and as we walk this journey, there's some of us in circumstances right now where this word is going through you. And in your mind, you're already thinking up things like, you know what, I should have said something then. I should have, or I could say something now. Yeah, that's true, because, and that's the effect that the word has, because the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes in and it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? And the word comes to us so that we can be transformed into his image and into his likeness. So on to back to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel 33 and 22. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me that evening before the man came who had escaped, and he, the Lord, had opened my mouth. So when he came to me in the morning, my mouth was open and I was no longer mute. God actually shut Ezekiel's mouth where he couldn't say anything. And then the next morning he opened his mouth where he could prophesy and where he could say what needed to be said. This is what we need. Hello? Daniel chapter 10 and verse 15. When Daniel had an angel come and begin to talk to him and show him different things, and the appearance of the angel was so magnificent that Daniel fell over on his face and he couldn't even speak. It says, when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless because it had overwhelmed him. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I opened my mouth and spoke. This is what we need. It said the Lord touched his lips. We need the Lord to touch our lips. Lord, touch our lips. Touch our mouth. Touch our hearts. If Father, that we might be an instrument, Father, of your purpose, of your will, and of your desire, that we might speak a word in season, that we might speak a word that would go right to the heart of the matter, that we might speak a word that would bring life instead of death and deliver those who are appointed to die, Lord, to salvation and redemption in Christ, to be able to speak a word. Psalm 81 and verse 10. I'm sure you've heard this scripture before. The Lord says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God's promise to us is that if you open your mouth, I'll fill it. Say, I don't know what needs to be said. Open your mouth. Let them fill it. Open it wide. Amen. Luke 1:63. You'll remember the story about Zacharias. Remember when the angel said, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. Zacharias turns to the angel and said, well, how shall I know that what you're telling me is going to come to pass? He's talking to an angel now. Okay. And Gabriel said, I'm Gabriel who's standing in the presence of God. This is how you're going to know. You're going to be dumb and you won't be able to speak because you didn't believe the word of the Lord that I'm bringing to you. That's how you're going to know. And so he was dumb for the rest of the 6 months to his wife, or however long it was that she was pregnant. Okay. But in verse 63 of Luke 1, when she has the child, the people said, what shall his name be? He said, he motioned to them, John. And they said, no, ain't nobody in your family named John. You can't do that. It got to be Zacharias or something like that. He said, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, his name is John. So they all marvel, and immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed. And he spoke, praising God. That's what we need. We need our mouth open and we need our tongue loosed. We need our tongue loosed so that we can tell the truth. So I told the story of Sherry Reed back there gave me this videotape years ago of Jesse Duplantis. So I'm at this other church and I told them the story about Jesse Duplantis, who says of himself, you know what they say about me? I'm a black man trapped in a white body, but I, because I'm so crazy. And if you don't know Jesse Duplantis, you got to see this. This man is a nut. Anyhow, he has a convention, and one of his convention families, they invite pastors over for dinner. People always come over to his house. So they invited him over to the house. The wife made out this elaborate meal, dressed the table, set everything on there. And they're sitting down and they bless the food. Pastor, would you bless the food? So he blesses the food. And right about the time he says he picks up his fork and he's going to go put a fork of food in his mouth, all the family, they lean in like this. They're watching him. Lean as he fixing to take this first bite of food. And he's looking around. He's kind of nervous. He's like, why are these people looking in on me like this? And so he puts the food in his mouth, and he said, I said to the Lord, this is the worst food I have ever had in my life. I don't know what this lady has done, but she needs to stop it, whatever it is. So he's talking to the Lord. He says, this is the most horrible food I've ever had in my life. And so when the meal's all done, the woman asks Jesse Duplantis, so how did you like the meal? And I was teaching on Ephesians 6 and truth, the belt of truth at this first church. So I was dealing with the whole issue of being truthful. And so Jesse Duplantis at that moment, he froze and he's having this conversation with the Lord. He's like, Lord, now you always tell me never to lie, but this woman that invited me over to her house, she done set the table and she's been very nice to me and all this other thing. Lord, but this is junk. This is gross. This is the most horrible meal I've ever had. And he said, the Lord said, don't lie. And so they're all waiting. She says, how was the meal? And he opened up his mouth. He said, this is the worst food I have ever had in my life. I cannot say, ma'am, I'm sorry, but this is horrible. This is nasty. I don't like it. And when he said the truth, the husband jumped up and started dancing and clapping and said, whoa, we have a man of God in the house. I told you, honey, this is junk, this nasty food. Because all the children went, whoa, someone. Because they all knew that the food was horrible. The woman wasn't upset. She just said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'll have to change some things, but But here's the point. They all rejoiced in him telling the truth. Hello. They all rejoiced. So God help us. Now here's the thing. Like I told the early church, I said, listen, we didn't all lie before. Let me tell you where the number one place Christians lie. Potluck. Now let me help, while I'm here, let me help some ladies. Let me help you. And some fellas too. Okay, so now, because I'm talking to this first church and they're looking at me, I'm like, now don't look at me like that. Tell the truth now. And so, when you cook your meal and everything, okay, you, and I'll tell you another story after this just to kind of help you out, but when you cook your meal and you got your best dish and everything and you put it all out there and there's all these dishes out there, don't do this. Don't go around to people. How do you like it? Why do I say that? Because, well, do you really want the truth? Do you really want? Not everyone's taste is the same. Not everyone's going to like your dish. Now, if you're okay with that, you're okay with the person. Well, you know, I really did not care for that. Got stuck in my teeth. You know, that could happen. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying that could happen. Now, if you grown enough, if you mature enough, and that ain't going to offend you, well, then go ahead and ask people. But let people be honest. No, I really did. Like for me, I tell a banana pudding, I don't care for banana pudding. So when you bring banana and shove it up in my face, I'm going to shove it back. Because me and banana pudding, we just don't get along. No offense. I love you. Love you. But banana pudding, not my thing. Real simple. Okay? So one day, years ago when we were back in Paul the Sixth. Remember Paul the Sixth? You remember Paul the Sixth? You had to be here a while ago to remember Paul the Sixth. So we're sitting in church. It's a cafeteria. We're having potluck. And I'm eating. My mother's sitting next to me. She says, Patrick. She said, something don't taste right about this. And she took the chicken and she put it up in my face. And I smelled it and I went, oh, wait a second, mama, what? Throw that stuff away. What are you doing eating that? The chicken was rotten. It was rotten. You could smell it. Rotten. I don't know why my mother couldn't smell it that day. I don't know what happened. But it was rotten. Now, no one on purpose cooks rotten chicken and bring it to church. But that rotten chicken made it to church. Somebody needs to be able to say, yo, this chicken rotten. Don't eat this chicken. Somebody needs to be able to open up their mouth and just say the truth. You're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but you can't be eating rotten chicken, church. Hello. You can't be eating rotten chicken. So what I'm saying is, the Bible says in Ephesians 4 says, let every man speak truth with his neighbor. You know we don't always do that. Hello. Can someone say yeah a little bit louder? You know we don't always do that. Hello. We try and be nice, you know, like Jesse wrestled with it. Just the woman be real nice to me, Lord. And a lady after church, she came to me and said, I thought you were going to say that he said, I ain't never tasted anything like that before. Which would have been a lie too, because he would have known in his heart that's not what he meant. Right. Hello. And so, Lord, help us to open up our mouth. I told the church, I said, I'm not giving you license to go and hurt people's feelings about their food. But I'm using it as an illustration that we need to be able to tell the truth. We need to be able to open up our mouth. Amen. And so the Lord opens up our mouth that we might be able to proclaim the word, his word of truth. Right. So we have to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Those who are mistreated, those who are abused, those who are appointed to die, according to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 8, Solomon said this, open your mouth for the speechless. Open your mouth for the speechless. We see that in abortion. We see that in euthanasia. We see that in people who are fighting for those who cannot fight for themselves. Those trapped in sex trafficking and all of these things where people have no voice. And they cannot be heard. They are not heard. We need to speak for them. Okay? That mayor of Puerto Rico, I have to go back to her. I know it was rough, But the America of Puerto Rico, of San Juan, whatever, she opened up her mouth. She says, we're dying here. We are dying. At that point, it was 16 dead. Now it's up over 54 or wherever it's at. We are dying. We need help. So you have to open up your mouth. And no, it's not. And I know it's politics, look like it's clouding this and that and the other. But if people are dying, somebody has to open up their mouth and say what needs to be said so that change can come. God help us. God help us. Open your mouth for the speechless and in the cause of all who are appointed to die. That's Proverbs 31, verse 8. Verse 9 says, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Plead the cause of the poor and the needy. And how we need voices. How we need people who would open up their mouth and who won't consider politics or well, you know, this may not be good for me or, you know. No, there's a greater good that needs to be served. And so as I close, in Acts chapter 4, we see boldness multiplied because Paul again was praying. He said, help me to open up my mouth boldly as I ought to. And you know, when you think about boldness, when you think about boldness, you often think about, you know, something, but that's not boldness. That's just being mean. Well, that's being aggressive. You know, I'm going to be bold. No, you can be bold as a lion. Jesus was. And Jesus was bold as a lion. He's talking to people. He's not mad, but he says, you know what? You're of your father, the devil. And he's completely, he's not mad. He's not upset. He says, you're of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you will do. And then he's just going on, and he's just speaking truth. But he's speaking the word. And the word's cutting and slicing and folk don't know what to do with it. And so when Paul says, help me pray that I would be bold. He's not talking about being mean and forceful. When you say what you say, you're like, oh, you know, it's like you got to get emotional and worked up to bring out this truth. No, no, just say what needs to be said. Say what needs to be said. And so in so many, it's like the little kid when the king would come out and parade around, you know, the king who had no clothes. And the little boy, and this has been going on for I don't know how long, and finally a little boy sitting on the side, he said, he's naked. And everyone, well, that was apparent, but no one said it. No one said it. The king isn't wearing any clothes. Sometimes, you know how we use these terms, the elephant in the room? Everyone knows, everyone sees the elephant. The 800-pound gorilla. Everyone knows it's there, but no one is saying anything. And as long as you don't say anything, they said about this Harvey Weinstein thing. You know what they call it? An open secret. Think about that. An open secret. Everyone knows about it, but no one says anything. And if you don't say anything, it's like it's not really there. That's why God sends us his word. Because his word leaves nothing uncovered. His word exposes everything. Everything. Hello? His word makes it bare. The Bible says, Hebrews 4, I think in verse 12, it says, everything is open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everything is open and naked. So there's no, we're not hiding anything. You can't hide anything with God, right? And so in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, this is after Peter and John were taken by the Sanhedrin in question as to the man who was healed at the gate called Beautiful. It says, now when they commanded them at the end, said, we don't want you speaking anymore in the name of Jesus or teaching in his name. And Peter and John said, listen, whether you want us to obey you more than God, you look to it. But we're gonna obey God and we're going to preach the word. God's opened up our mouth. We're going to preach the word. Scripture says in Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, Peter and John weren't mean, but they were bold. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, listen, where was that boldness coming from? Uneducated, untrained. You know where the world gets this boldness from? I got 3 degrees. Back up off of me. Who you? That's where the world gets its boldness from. It gets its boldness from what it is able to accomplish. These men were uneducated and untrained, yet they were bold. Sanhedrin trying to figure out what is making these men like this. Says that they marveled when they saw these men. When these men were responding, uneducated. Fishermen. Peter was a fisherman. He didn't go to the great schools of Israel's day in that time. Says, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Can I help you with boldness? You want to know what will make you bold? Be with Jesus. Spend time in his presence. Listen, because here's how it works. When you spend time with Jesus and he says the truth to you, he speaks the truth to you, then you just turn around and speak the truth. Speak what he says. You just say what he says. You're not mad. You're not upset. You don't have an attitude. But I'm just going to tell you the way it is. Here is how it is. So I told you a story many times. I'll tell it again. When my Christian boss and Christians, we do this, church. When my Christian boss was using the wrong solution, I told you about the story. And the day came where I had to tell him, I quit. He says, why are you quitting? I said, because the solution that you are using is not the solution that we are telling people we're using. And that's tearing my conscience apart. I cannot deal with it. I must quit. He said, okay. I put in my 2 weeks, worked my 2 weeks. I did it right. Worked my 2 weeks, and I quit. But I had to tell him that what you are doing is wrong. And now I was telling my wife on the way home from church this morning, I don't know what it is with Christians, but Christians have a problem with paying taxes. Now, if that's you, listen, Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Hello, is that what he said? Then Paul backed it up in Romans 13, and he said, be subject to the higher authorities, because all authority comes from God. And for this reason, we pay taxes. But I've noticed over the years, because I had someone close to me, they were not paying their taxes. And I was sharing with this other church the story I've shared with you on many occasions about this other guy who lost his entire business, Christian. He lost his entire business because he wasn't paying taxes. He had a contract with 21 color tile stores. You remember color tile? Maybe you remember color. He had a contract with 21 stores. If anyone bought carpet or tile in those stores, his company went and did the installation. 21 stores. This dude's making money hand over fist. But you know what? He decided he was making so much money. I don't understand it, but he's making so much. You decide you're not going to pay your taxes. Well, you know, that's between you and God. But let me tell you something. God's going to expose you. God's going to expose you. It's only a matter of time. Why? Because to live a lie is to be at odds with the spirit of truth living in you. Cannot be done. God won't have it. That is not being transformed and transforming to the image of Jesus. So he will not allow that. So he says, either you repent or I'm going to pull the cover off of you. That's what he'll do, right? So boldness comes by spending time with Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 28, we'll see further. Now, so the disciples went to prayer. In Acts 20, in Acts chapter 4, verse 28 reads, now they're praying and said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And so they actually asked God and prayed exactly what Paul was asking for in Ephesians 6. He said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that with all boldness I may open my mouth and declare the gospel. He prayed for boldness. Paul was asking for prayer for boldness. And here they prayed and said, Lord, open our mouths with all boldness. What do you think I've been asking God all week for you? I've been asking God all week for us. This prayer right here. He said that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Signs and wonders might be done. That would back up the preaching and teaching of the word that would back up the truth, be it the word of God or in our case, on the job, when you know some safety violation is going on here and someone's kicking it under the rug or something is going on over here and it ain't quite right and people want you to front for them and lie. No, I'm sorry. That's not happening. Last verse, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. The place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God opened up their mouth. They weren't mean, but they were bold. I think it's Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. They're bold as a lion. The Lion King Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we need you today. Amen. We need you, Lord, to open our mouths. We need you, Lord, Father, to stir up, Lord, the truth of God in us. Lord, that we would be able to call a spade a spade. Father, that we would not in any way twist the truth, but we would declare the truth. We would speak a word in season, oh my God. And the light of your word and the truth of your word would have its way. Lord, in the marketplace, in the job place, in our homes, in our relationships, Lord, in every place we find ourselves, Lord, I pray that you would open our mouth. I pray that you would fill us with boldness. And I pray that we would speak your word as you would have us to speak it. I pray, Lord, that our times with you, Lord, would transform us. And Lord, that we would come out of that time more like you and speak like you and talk like you. Walk like you and work like you and live like you. And in every way, oh God, Lord, your life would be lived through us. And so, Father, as the place was shaken and all they were filled, Father, I thank you that you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit so that we might speak your word with boldness. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' holy name. And all God's people said amen. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.